for some football.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Welcome to the FTN DataCast, the fantasy football podcast where data drives the discussion. Here are your hosts, Adam Pfeiffer and Tyler Lochner.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome back one last time this week. It is the FTN DataCast presented by the FTN Network. Adam Pfeiffer here with you on Friday, July the 29th, 2022. Tyler Lochner with me. As always, Tyler changed his Twitter name. I saw his Twitter handle. It's very on brand for you, Tyler. So in case everybody missed it, why don't you fill him in and how is your Thursday slash Friday going? I guess Thursday. Recording this Thursday night.
Yeah, it's good. I've drafted a bunch of Julio, fitting for the team we're about to talk about. So happy that happened. And yeah, I changed my my handle's the same, but the name is now Tyler Lochner drafting CMC 101. So. It's going to stay like that until the football season starts.
Yeah, so, which is very soon. I mean, training camps in full swing. We're seeing highlights from all of our favorite players, which is confirming our priors. Or, you know, like, for me, we can do a whole pod next week talking about early takeaways from training camp. But, like, some stuff is clearly not actionable that it's just fun to talk about. But there's some stuff I've seen, like, with certain offenses, like the Giants, where we've seen what I've been hoping we'd see and I thought we'd see. We're already seeing a ton of pre-snap motion. We're already seeing Saquon Barkley in the slot, and we're seeing Wandale Robinson at running back. So there's definitely some stuff we can take away from preseason early that we can apply going forward. So what's been your favorite kind of preseason training camp highlight slash news blurb from so far?
Well, other than Julio signing with the Bucks, it would be the Kadarius Toney catch for a touchdown.
Yes. Yeah. That, listen, I've been trying to tell people for months, Kadarius Toney, Saquon Barkley, Brian Daboll.
Talking about it forever.
Right. And there's still time to get on the Brian Daboll bandwagon, but clearly that offense is going to.
I mean, I kind of went back and forth on Twitter with some people last night, but I cannot get on the Daniel Jones bandwagon, so.
I can, but only as a second quarterback in Superflex or a secondary stack in best ball.
I suppose.
But we talked about the Giants already. Let's talk about one of the best teams, arguably the best team in the NFL, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who, look, things are changing already from this team. It's a good thing we didn't record this episode a couple days ago because we'll get into it, but on Thursday alone, the team has changed. Center Ryan Jensen has apparently suffered a serious injury that might require him to miss the season. I believe it. Has it been confirmed? I've been out earlier today.
I don't know if it's been confirmed, but I know he was carted off and it was a knee injury.
So that's terrible news. And then the day before that, Julio Jones signs a Tampa Bay on a 1-year deal. And my goodness, like the Russell Gage situation has gotten very interesting. Plus we got news that Chris Godwin has been cleared for training camp, which doesn't exactly say he's definitely playing week one, but clearly a good sign. We'll get into all of this. And of course, this team had a coaching change. Bruce Arians stepping away from the team, retired. I think he's still around with the team. He's just not coaching anymore.
Yep.
Todd Bowles goes from defensive coordinator to head coach, though he'll still call the defensive plays. And of course, Byron Leftwich, still the offensive coordinator. So we'll talk about it, but I think the offense is still going to be very much the same. Let's start with the GOAT, though. The unquestioned greatest quarterback of all time. Tom Brady retired for about 40 days and then unretired, and now he's back, and I'm sure he'll be a top 10 quarterback again. Led the NFL in passing attempts last season with 719.
Dude, so many.
I was writing the Tampa Bay article, like I knew he led the league in passing attempts, but like I didn't realize it was 719. Is it the same old situation for Brady? Well, same old since he's been in Tampa Bay. We know the rushing upside's not going to be there, but he has a chance to throw for 4,500 yards and 40 touchdowns.
Yeah, Brady is just, it's actually crazy to me how cheap Tom Brady is. I think if there's any player that could just absolutely smash his ADP at the quarterback position, I think Tom Brady might be the one most likely to do it. Like, Trey Lance is going ahead of him. Who do you think is more likely to finish as the overall fantasy quarterback one, Trey Lance or Tom Brady? I think it's Tom Brady. I mean,
Trey Lance would have to be insanely good, but yeah, I would still lean Brady.
Brady was second last year in fantasy points, and he's coming off the board as like the QB 10 or QB 11. It's just, I can't, I, I'm sorry, but if he's going to throw for close to 700, if he's going to throw close to 700 pass attempts again, which I'm not saying he will, like what's a reasonable number for him to drop down to? Like, I don't think he drops all the way down to 625. I feel like that's a really conservative to expect him to throw 100 fewer.
Yeah. Passes, and like, but even at what, 45, 44 years old last season, he still was good in like the advanced metrics. He completed 45.3% of his deep passes, third highest rate in the league. Like,
I think Brady will lead the league in pass attempts, passing yards, and passing touchdowns. I think I would bet on him to do all three of those things, especially if we're thinking like to do a narrative, like if this Tom Brady's last year. I also think it's worth betting Tom Brady to win MVP, because mm-hmm. MVP voters will maybe send him off with that little side note. But yeah, I mean, I think I will be surprised if Brady throws for fewer than 4,500 yards. That would shock me. I will also be surprised if he throws for fewer than 33 touchdowns. Like, I think you can lock him in for 47 and 35. And I think he leads the league in those three categories. So in terms of consistency, he was a fantasy quarterback one in 65% of his games last year. He scored over 30 fantasy points in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games. So you got over 30 points in like half of your games. Yes, he's losing Gronk, but keep in mind, Cameron Brate actually saw more end zone targets than Gronk last year. So it's not like Gronk was, yes, Gronk was incredible, but it's not like Gronk was catching 12 touchdowns anymore. He still has Mike Evans, who is the one still catching 12 touchdowns. We got the good news from Chris Godwin. Russell Gage is extremely underrated.
I mean, they're going to have four wide sets now with Julio Jones, Russell Gage, Chris Godwin, and Mike Evans, barring health. Like, that's absurd.
And Leonard Fournette is good at catching passes. Rashad White can catch passes. Gio Bernard is still... Dude, I am like 100% all in on Tom Brady. I cannot fathom why he's going... It's literally just because he doesn't run.
Yeah.
But guess what? He's going to score 25 to 30 fantasy points every single week, and he's probably going to finish as a top five quarterback in points. Like, it's probably going to happen.
Yeah, at FTN Fantasy, we have advanced passing stats. One of the stats is highlight throws, which are throws that require like perfect precision accuracy, pretty much where only the receiver can make the play on the ball. Aaron Rodgers led the league with in that stat, but Tom Brady was number two with 43 at 44 years old, so he's still fantastic. Nice. And we know this team, like, the offense is not going to change with Byron Leftwich still there. It's, I know Bruce Arians has been, throughout his entire career, has been really heavily focused on the deep passing game, but I still think that's going to be there with Byron Leftwich. You look at last season, first of all, the pass rate's going to be massive. No team had a higher pass rate in neutral game scripts than Tampa Bay last year at 67%. They also ranked second in passing rate, went up by 8 or more points at 55.5%. Like, this team throws when they're up by 3 touchdowns. They don't care. Brady also will, like, check out of plays inside the 5 and throw. Like, happens all the time. As I mentioned, like, he's still throwing the ball down the field a lot. Brady last season, or the last two seasons in Tampa Bay, has been first and eighth in intended air yards per pass attempt. So, like,
the Bucs are fat. The Bucs play fast, too. Like, yep. The Buccaneers, actually, I'm not 1,000% sure. Okay, yeah, I have it. The Buccaneers had the fourth most snaps last year, and even though Tom Brady playing at 45 years old, they averaged under 26 seconds per snap, which was one of the seven fastest moving offenses in the league. And they went no huddle 13% of the time, which was pretty, which is also in the top 10, that ranked ninth. So, like, if you, they're fast paced. This is why I think Brady's like a lock to just to lead the league in pass attempts again. You mentioned it. They're always passing the ball. They're fast paced. They have a good defense that will get them the ball back. Like, I don't know. I like, they lost Antonio Brown, who was still really good. They lost Gronk. And I guess we can talk about Jensen. So, yeah, it's not good to lose your center. No. Jensen did take the second most snaps among all centers last year, but I will say this, his pass blocking grade at PFF, he was 25th among centers last year. So if we're talking about what's the impact on Brady, he was not the greatest pass blocker last year.
I think it's more so going to just be getting used to snapping the ball to Brady, whoever the new center is. That's what I'm more like, I'm not worried about it, but I think that's going to be the the real adjustment period. But other than that, like, they still have a plus offensive line. They brought in Jack Mason, who they somehow traded for from New England in the offseason. So it's definitely a loss, but it's not going to move me. You know, it's not going to make me move Brady down in my rankings or anything like that. He's in that quarterback 7, 6, 7, 8 range for me. I agree. Like, if you're going to bet on a quarterback to throw for 4,500 and 35 touchdowns, probably be Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, let's go right to the receivers, because like, Julio Jones is now on this team, and I don't know if Julio's as good as Antonio Brown was, because Antonio Brown was earning targets at a ridiculous rate. In terms of targets per out run, he was elite, like massively elite. Julio's not going to get that amount of targets, but like, Julio's now your third best receiver.
Yeah.
Like, that's absurd. So let's kind of tie it all together. What does the addition of Julio Jones, let's start with Mike Evans. What does addition of Julio Jones, if anything, do for you with Mike Evans? For me, it's nothing. What really impacts Mike Evans is if Chris Godwin's healthy week one, because Mike Evans is splits with Godwin in and out of the lineup the last couple of seasons.
Like, yeah, we've talked about that.
Yeah, Evans, anytime he can get 8, 9 targets, is like, has a chance to be the wide receiver one on a given week every week, because he always is a threat to score multiple touchdowns. But for me, like, Julio doesn't do much for Evans, but if Godwin's healthy week one, that changes a lot.
Yeah, Godwin is still the real wild card here. And I agree with you. I don't think any of it, I don't think Julio's addition changes my view of Mike Evans. I still think he's going to catch 75 balls for 1,000 to 1,100 yards and, you know, 8 to 12 touchdowns. I feel like Evans will do that regardless of who the other receivers are. I also feel like Evans will do that.
Mike Evans will have 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns when he's retired.
It's true.
It's you know, death, taxes, and Mike Evans having 1,010.
I also think with Godwin being cleared to practice, what's it been? 8 months or 7 months since he tore his ACL, and he still has a month and a half until football starts. I feel like with him already being cleared to practice, that you can't really expect him to miss more than like maybe 2 games. Mm-hmm. And maybe he won't come back 100%, but I still think he'll get his targets, even if he's not there at 100%. He'll get some, maybe he won't get.
I mean, talked about it when Chris, we talked about it in best ball, like where you would draft him not knowing when he'd play, but like, you know, when Chris Godwin's on the field, he's returning low end wide receiver 1, high end wide receiver 2 value.
I think his numbers last season,
8.1 targets, 5.9 receptions, 73 receiving yards per game. Over the last 2 seasons, that's the last 2 seasons. And during that span, he's been 7th and 15th in fantasy points per game. Like, he's going to be in that 8 to 12, 13 range for me.
Yes. Yeah. And Godwin being there does hurt Evans some. Like, if Godwin started the year on PUP and gave Evans 6 weeks without him, I think we would be talking about Evans as like a 1,200 yard, maybe 90 receptions within his range of outcomes. I don't think that happens with Evans anymore, but I also don't think that changes Evans' ADP, because it's not like he was being drafted as if Godwin was going to be there, if that makes sense.
Yeah, Mike Evans, you look, since 2020, he's played in 8 games without Chris Godwin in the lineup. In those games, averaging 9.2 targets, 6.3 receptions, 86.5 receiving yards, and over 1 touchdown per game, 21.8 PPR points per game. So, like, anytime you can get more targets from Mike Evans, because he's always been in that, like, 6-7 range, but, like, with no Godwin potentially, he'll see 8, 9, 10 targets a game until Godwin's healthy, which would make, like, I seriously think Mike Evans could, like, say Chris Godwin's out the first 6 weeks. I 1,000% believe Mike Evans could be the wide receiver 1 during that stretch.
Yeah, 1,000%. But that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen anymore. There's no way
this, Godwin... 6 weeks, no, probably not. But yeah, he can miss a couple, like you said. Let me ask you that. If I told you Chris Godwin, or somebody told you, if we got the news, that Chris Godwin was going to miss the first 2, maybe 3 weeks of the season, where would you move him up? Because right now, I think he's going around the 6th round in best ball. He was higher for a while, and then it didn't look like he would be ready for week one. But now, there's a much better chance. So, like, where would you kind of slide him in terms of ADP?
I think Godwin being guaranteed to miss 2 games would, I think it would probably move him to late 4th for me. I think he would.
I was going to say at least 4th. So
I think he would go. Who's going around there? Like McLaurin, Deontay Johnson, Gabriel Davis. I think I would start drafting him over Gabe Davis.
Okay. I probably would too. Like, he's going to be so good on a per game basis. Like, just so good.
I would probably slot him in at wide receiver 20. I would probably still keep like Waddle, McLaurin, and then Godwin. But, and that's if he's guaranteed to miss three games. So I view Godwin as a really high end fantasy wide receiver too, especially in, you know, in the Tom Brady offense. I also do not think that Julio Jones being there hurts Godwin. I don't think it hurts Godwin or Mike Evans. Like, Brady was supporting three wide receivers last year.
There's two offenses, maybe three, that can support three pass catchers. It's Tampa Bay, it's Cincinnati, maybe Buffalo, but definitely I would say the Chargers if you count Eckler, Williams, and Keenan Allen. Those are the three teams that can like unquestionably support three pass catchers. So Mike Evans, and keep in mind, like, whether Godwin's there or not, whether Julio's there or not, Mike Evans, 27 touchdowns the last 2 years of Brady, fourth in end zone targets during that span. So, like,
we're talking about a team that could throw the ball over 700 times. So Brady actually supported five wide receivers last year. Seriously, I'm not even kidding.
Antonio Brown was like top seven in points per game. Fournette was great.
He had the most receptions among running backs. Rob Gronkowski was a top five tight end. And then you had Evans, Godwin, and Antonio Brown, who, granted, they would sometimes switch weeks when someone would pop off, but they were all must starts every single week. So am I concerned about Evans and Godwin still getting theirs? Absolutely not. The big
Julio's
question,
not getting targets on a per out basis like AB got. It's just not happening.
It's not happening.
And that's from Julio's legitimately maybe my favorite receiver to ever play. It's just he's not going to get that because A, like, it's just not repeatable for even Antonio Brown probably if he was back. And B, I don't think he's going to play as much as Antonio Brown because I think there's a chance Russell Gage is still starting in three wide sets. We don't know that if Julio is going to even be on the field in three wide sets.
Yeah, the big question is Gage versus Julio, I think. It's not Evans, Godwin. It's Gage versus Julio.
I mean, right now, we haven't seen ADP really reflect yet. I've seen drafts. I've done a couple of drafts after the Julio deal where he's gone, like, he was like the 16th round, which, again, we were kind of hammering that. We knew he was going to play on a team, so just draft him while you can. Now I've seen him go in the 10th. I drafted him in the 11th the other day, like hours after the deal. And we're going to see Gage's ADP reflect that. And I think they're both going to go in between like rounds 10 and 11.
Yeah, I could see Julio getting up to 9. I mean, it might depend on training camp and how it's going with Gage. Gage should come down. He was going in the 6th, which always
it stinks too, because he was in line to be, even with Godwin potentially healthy, like a top 35, 40 receiver. Like, he was good last season in Atlanta. He was actually the wide receiver 14 in fantasy from week 9 on last year. Of course, he was obviously getting 8 targets a game with Matt Ryan. He wasn't going to see that, but like, he played out of the slot in Atlanta. But I talk about this, like, he was really good against man coverage and on the outside last season. He was 11th in yards per out run against man. He can play outside. So like, it didn't even matter to me that Godwin could have played, because Godwin can play in the slot and Gage could have played out wide and still been fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now Julio being there, like, if you're drafting today, you're drafting Julio or Russell Gage.
Well, I actually don't know like where they're going in relation to each other in drafts.
Right. It's a tough question because ADP is not set in stone.
I would be drafting.
Say they Julio. Both go in the 9th round.
Julio.
I probably agree just because I love Julio and I don't think he's washed like a lot of people do. But man, like, you have to be concerned a little bit that he misses a couple games.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I'm also concerned a little bit that maybe he is washed. Like, I think it's a reasonable
I mean, I guess it's possible.
Thing to ask.
Sure.
He was really, truly still good 2 years ago. I mean, he was on pace for 1,400 yards and 90 receptions.
He wasn't bad last year either. He just wasn't on the field a lot.
Right. And the Titans never threw him the ball. I mean, he was really not in a friendly environment. He goes from one of the worst possible passing offenses in terms of being the number two. Like, you would rather be the number three in Tampa than the number two in Tennessee.
100%. I'd rather be the number three in Tampa over the number two almost anywhere.
Well, okay. How about this? What if he's the number four in Tampa? I still feel like that might even be better than the number two in Tennessee.
Yeah.
maybe not. Maybe I'm going crazy. But Tennessee,
it's possible,
only,
though, man.
Tennessee only
really
threw
is.
The ball. Tennessee only threw the ball 51% of the time last year, which is the second lowest in the league. And the Bucks, we mentioned this, threw the ball 66.5% of the time. The next closest team was 63.5. Like, dude, it's just such a pass-friendly offense. I will say this. I don't think the Bucks were the best possible landing spot for Julio.
I want him to go to the Colts.
I think the best would have been the Colts or the Packers. The Bucks are exciting, but like we've said, he's not going to take targets from Evans and Godwin. So Julio's not going to a place where he's going to have the opportunity to be the number one.
If he landed in Green Bay, he'd probably be...
I would have thrown my pants away.
Inside my top 25. man, that would have been so fun. In the Colts, he'd be up there too, just because like after Michael Pittman, he could have walked into plenty of targets and he's clearly familiar with the quarterback there. So, but it will be fun. Tom Brady just continues to get to throw to millions of Hall of Famers in his career. He has two on it. Like Mike Evans is a Hall of Famer. Julio's a Hall of Famer. So he's got two on his team again. Chris Godwin is too early, but like he obviously played with Antonio Brown as a Hall of Fame talent receiver.
What about Pro Bowl MVP Kyle Rudolph? Come on.
I mean, we'll talk about him. It's a good segue. Let's talk about the tight end position. Rob Gronkowski retired, and then we had Cameron Brate and Kate Otten, the rookie. And then the team recently signed Kyle Rudolph. And like a couple days before the Julio deal happens, there was a report that Kyle Rudolph is going to take the Rob Gronkowski role. Then he started to pick up some steam. And now Julio's there, and it's like, do we even draft any tight end from this team? If I were to draft one, maybe it'd be Kyle Rudolph after that report, but... Yeah, tight end position, again, right now on July the 29th, it seems pretty deep, and I don't know if I can get to a point where I draft the Bucks tight ends and feel comfortable about it, because, like, Cameron Brate last season, in the games without Gronk, five games without Gronkowski, he only averaged 3.6 targets, 1.4 receptions, and 14 receiving yards per game. Like, I just don't see a massive ceiling. And
no, there's not a massive ceiling. There's touchdown Brady can potential. Support, that's it.
Brady can support multiple receivers, but like, it's pretty obvious the Titans in this team are going to be, at best, on a weekly basis, fourth in terms of the targets. And that's at best.
Yeah, I agree with that. The only thing I will say is these tight ends, Rudolph and Brate, and it'll be frustrating because I think it'll happen for both of them. They will both get end zone targets. Like Brate was, he ranked in the top 10 in end zone targets last year. That was with Gronk on the team. Gronk ranked in the top 15. So Gronk was 12th. Brate was 8th in end zone targets last year. So could we see two Buccaneers tight ends in the top 15 in end zone targets again? Yeah. I mean, it really wouldn't shock me. Will we see them get a lot of targets between the 20s? No.
Here's my take. Just draft Brevin Jordan.
I drafted a bunch of Cameron Brate after Gronk retired.
Right.
And then I'm just done. Like, I'm not going to draft. I don't think I'm going to draft Buccaneers tight ends anymore. Like, I have my stake in Brate. Maybe I'll draft a couple Kyle Rudolph just to get some, but it's so muddied there that I'll just stick with what I have in Brate. Like, I don't think this phase is Brate out. I just think we see them rotate.
Yeah, and again, like I mention this all the time when talking about the tight end position, I'm looking for a player, if I miss out on the elite or like top tier tight ends, I'm looking for a player with talent and has a chance to be number two on their team in targets. Zero chance of any of that in Tampa Bay.
I think we see both Rudolph and Brate end with around 30 receptions, 300 yards, and 3 touchdowns each.
I bet you if you combine all three tight ends, their targets equal like 55. 56.
I think they'll see more than that, but I think if you combine all three, you'll get close to 100.
Let's close it out with the backfield.
Kadon's there too.
Yeah, he is. Let's close it out with the backfield. Leonard Fournette coming off a
draft
fantastic
Leonard Fournette.
Season.
Done.
Yeah, I mean he started the season last year as the clear backup to Ronald Jones, and then
that is
Ronald
not
Jones.
True.
What do you mean?
I mean, maybe it's true, but. I don't think so. I literally drafted, I had 60% Leonard Fournette last year. I thought it was clear that he was going to be the starter.
They were both going late. Like they were pretty much going where like...
Fournette was going in the 10th and 11th rounds last year, despite the fact that he saw at least 20 carries in like 6 straight games in the playoffs.
Right.
So I know we're talking about last year into this year, but like... People are still doubting Leonard Fournette. Like,
yeah, from week four was when he really became the lead back last year. And from week four on, he was the RB3 in fantasy behind Eckler and JT. Just, he was that good. And he missed, this is crazy, Leonard Fournette. He missed, what, four games? Still led all running backs in first read targets, was still third in overall targets and receptions among running backs, had all the goal line work. He literally has the best role you can possibly have in fantasy, at least right now, unless Rashad White eats into that, which I'm not expecting right away. But right now, Leonard Fournette has the goal line role and the receiving work in one of the best offenses in football.
Yeah.
So if you looked just across the board at running back, there may not be a running back in fantasy with a better role than Fournette right now. Like, no, McCaffrey, you could say yes, but what if his snaps are down this year? Like, Fournette is, to me, like, a clear top 10 running back. He, like I said, led the NFL among running backs in first read targets. During that weeks, during weeks 4 to 15, he got hurt. He was out 16, 17, and 18. So 4 to 15, he averaged 14 rushing attempts, 6.3 targets, 5 receptions, and nearly 21 fantasy points per game. You kind of led with it. Just draft Leonard Fournette. Is it that simple for you?
Yeah, it's that simple for me. I mean, I don't get it. I really don't. He's going in like the late second, early third round of fantasy drafts. I don't necessarily think his ADP is going to rise that much from there. People just don't like drafting Leonard Fournette. They never have liked drafting Leonard Fournette. And I mean, heck, I'll do it. He's in a great spot.
So you're starting McCaffrey Fournette then?
Well, if I draft McCaffrey, I usually will wait to draft another running back. But if I'm drafting like third or fourth and I take Cooper Kupp or Justin Jefferson or Jamar Chase.
I was going to say, switch the order. Then it will be okay.
Then I take Leonard Fournette.
Justin Jefferson or Cooper Kupp. Not Cooper Kupp or Justin Jefferson. Wide receiver one becomes starts before wide receiver two.
Yeah, I got you. Actually, Jefferson's ADP has been creeping up close to Cooper Kupp. I don't know if you've noticed that. Kupp's ADP is 3.3. Jefferson's 3.8.
There's a lot of analysts out there moving Jefferson up to wide receiver one. It's very smart. I think it's going to happen. But back to Fournette, like, are you worried at all that Rashad White, like, no. It's just, it's so tough for a rookie running back to play, especially in pass protection with Tom Brady and be trusted. You know, Tom Brady loves Fournette. Like, I believe he was the reason Fournette joined Tampa Bay. Like, Brady wanted him to come in and, yeah, like what he did from weeks 4 to 15, it's just, like I said, only Eckler and JT were better in fantasy. Like, I don't think, as long as he plays even somewhat of a role he played this past season, I'd be shocked if he was out to the top 12 running backs. And like you said, he's not even going. It's not even like he had this massive season and now he's being like, obviously his ADP is way higher than it was before, but it's not like it's to this crazy extent where it's like, oh, you have to spend a top 5 running back selection on Fournette. Like, he's still like in that 9-10 zone, especially because like Barkley's moved up and some other running backs have moved up. Like I said, just literally one of the best roles you can possibly ask for.
Rashad White is good. He's extremely athletic. I love Rashad White. They did spend a third round pick on him, but I think he's a great like zero RB candidate. If Fournette gets hurt, I think White becomes, I think there's a decent chance White gets that role. I also think there's a decent chance it then becomes split between White and Keyshawn Vaughn, but no, it doesn't scare me off Fournette. Like, the only reason Fournette is not going in at the end of the first round of fantasy drafts is because people think that Rashad White is going to be like the receiving back. But guys, Fournette, he was going to lead all running backs in receptions last year. Tom Brady loves him. If Tom Brady loves you, guess what? You're going to be on the field and he's going to throw the ball to you. I don't know. I just think it's crazy.
I thought it was crazy last year to not draft him. Like,
yeah.
Like, for me, like, Leonard Fournette is, like, does his role change at all? What if his role goes down a little bit? Okay, he's still going to be really good in fantasy. Like, for me, Fournette or James Conner, it's not even close. Give me Fournette. It's tough for me because, like, Barkley, Swift, Aaron Jones, like, would you prefer Fournette over all of those running backs too? He might honestly be safer.
I think he's safer than all of them. I do prefer him probably over all of them except for Swift. I think Swift is like has breakout written all over him. And but what you know I love the Lions. Man, I'm sad I missed that podcast.
What about in half PPR? Still the same?
Probably.
I mean, like I mentioned before, I only averaged 14 carries per game during that span. Yeah. Like, it's not like he was getting 20 carries a game on top of it, but again, six targets and five receptions, you know, helps a ton.
I think Fournette catches 60 passes, 55 to 60 passes.
Right.
400 yards, and I think he scores over 10 total touchdowns. I don't think he's like a lock to rush for over 1,000 yards, though. Like, if Fournette only runs the ball 200 times this year, or 215 times, that I think is super reasonable to expect. Because again, if we're talking about Brady throwing the ball over 700 times, they're not going to be running that much.
Fournette almost has like Aaron Jones role, but larger. You know what I mean? Like, he's getting similar carries, but I think he also has a better chance of getting 20 carries in a game if they decide to go run heavy. It's just, I think a lot of his games where he had like 12, 14 carries is because Tampa Bay just threw the ball 50 times. Yeah, whereas if they were in a scenario where they were running the ball, like Fournette would get 20 carries. It's not like they're going to give Keyshawn Vaughn an A.J. Dillon role Rashad White an A.J. Dillon role.
That's a good comp. Fournette and Aaron Jones do have a similar role, except for the fact that Fournette definitely will get the goal line carries and Aaron Jones probably won't.
Like I said, that's what I meant. Like, Fournette's in the A.J. Dillon role, but it's like
better.
Yeah, it's like it went Super Saiyan almost. I do want to talk about Rashad White real quick, though, because I love the player. And I think in my opinion, the clear best pass catcher running back in this draft class was Rashad White. He had an 18.9% college target share. Like, that's an elite level number. 2.25 yards per route run, was fourth in college football last season among all running backs. He's got good size, 6 foot, 214 pounds. Like I said, he's got that size to handle a full workload if called upon. I think he can be really, really, really smooth and successful in the passing game with Tom Brady. So yeah, like, there's a reason Rashad White's going where he's going in drafts. And is he going to have standalone value? Probably not. But I would I think it's likely that one of Gio Bernard or Vaughn don't make the team. Like, they're not going to have four running backs make the team. So yeah, I haven't seen much on, because everything's been pretty much surrounding Julio and the Ryan Jensen injury. But, I'm interested to see what reports we get out of Rashad White in training camp, especially if they ask directly, Tom Brady, what he thinks about him. Because that's, at the end of the day, that's what matters.
Yeah, I don't mind drafting Rashad White where he's going. It's not like he's super expensive. He's like the RB40. And I think, again, he's a good zero RB candidate. We've talked about this. I don't think he should be reducing Fournette's value that much. But yeah, I think White is, I think he's a good target. I think his role will not be as big as people want it to be. So if you're drafting Rashad White, I don't think he develops into a standalone value player.
Right. And the other thing is, too,
Keyshawn Vaughn is not bad.
Passes. Keyshawn Vaughn was the most hyped dynasty running back when he went to Tampa Bay in the draft last year. Like, he was, it wasn't like Clyde Edwards-Helaire type level, but it was like, oh baby, this is it. Because yeah, he was amazing in college. But when I see a situation like this where there's a really talented rookie running back with decent draft capital and we wonder about his role, I look at the team and I say, this is a team that has as high and as realistic Super Bowl goals and aspirations as anybody in football. They aren't going to take this year to develop Rashad White. Like, they don't have the time for that. Like, they're going to win. Tom Brady, you would think this is his last year. For me, if Fournette's playing well and they're winning, we're not going to see Rashad White play a lot on a team that's going to be winning a ton of games.
Vaughn was in the exact same spot as White last year. He was a third round pick.
Yeah. And it was probably even a worse spot going into the season because Ronald Jones and Fournette
were still there. Yeah.
So I like Rashad White. I don't know. RB40 seems maybe a little high, because I think that's where a lot of the higher upside backups are going that I think would absolutely, I don't know for a fact if Rashad White would be the every down back if Fournette missed any time. I don't know that at all.
For sure either.
Whereas Madison, even in a new regime in Minnesota, I can almost guarantee that. Whereas Daryl Henderson, I can guarantee that. Whereas, you know, so many other running back situations. Yeah. And then, have you been drafting any of Gio Bernard or Keyshawn Vaughn? Because I haven't.
I have not.
Yeah. I like Keyshawn Vaughn. I would like to see him get opportunity. It's just, it's just tough when your team is led by Tom Brady and you have all these amazing players and are going to be playing in the playoffs and potentially in the Super Bowl. It's just hard to take a year to develop, you know, the young players on your team.
Yeah, I agree.
Any other thoughts on Tampa Bay before we get out of here? And we will continue next week with the rest of the NFC South, which will wrap up the NFC.
This is the best offense in the NFL, the most fantasy-friendly offense in the NFL, and every single one of their players, except for maybe Mike Evans, is cheaper than they should be. That's my final parting thought. Tom Brady's too cheap. Leonard Fournette's too cheap. Chris Godwin's still too cheap. Julio Jones and Russell Gage are both going to be cheap. The tight ends, you probably don't have to draft, but if you want to take a flyer, they're cheap. Just draft Bucks. Just do it.
Yeah, and I don't find myself rooting for Tampa Bay very often, but if they're in the Super Bowl and not facing Buffalo, it's going to be tough for me not to root for Julio to get a Super Bowl.
Dude, that'd be pretty sick.
I mean, your Patriots cost him Super Bowl, so thanks for that.
Oh my gosh, the Julio catch in that Super Bowl.
That is like the most overlooked amazing play in Super Bowl history because nobody remembers it because all they remember is 28-3. That catch was stupid. It was so stupid.
It was so good. That Super Bowl was actually crazy. Like the ending, it had the Edelman catch. Why is there always, when the Patriots played in Super Bowls, there was always just nutty, nutty, nutty catches. Like remember
Not only the David Tyree catch, but the Mario Manningham catch in the other game that was crazy on the sidelines.
Dude, even crazier was, everyone forgets this one too, because it happened.
The Seahawks game.
Yeah, the Seahawks catch. Was it Javon Kerse? When he caught the ball.
Jermaine Kerse, yeah.
Yeah. Kerse. What did I say?
Javon Kerse, the defensive end.
That one was like, oh my gosh, dude. It's always crazy.
Did you, real quick before we get out of here, when the Seahawks were lined up at the goal line, did you just admit defeat?
No, I didn't, but I was not happy.
The craziest thing about that, it just shows Belichick's genius. They were practicing for that play weeks before Super Bowl. They were like, this is a play they run a lot, and they practiced it with Malcolm Butler, and
dude, I'm going to send it to you again.
You did.
I think
I
talked
about
this.
We did.
Butler almost dropped it. I'm going to send you the link right after this.
Yeah, send me that. And we'll get out of here. Appreciate everybody listening. Again, now is the time to check out FTN Fantasy, FTN Daily, and FTN Bets with the NFL season starting. Preseason is less than a week away, Tyler. We have Jacksonville and the Raiders on the Hall of Fame game on Thursday. That will be fun. Yeah, we are here. We made it. So check out FTN Fantasy. Sign up. You get access to Jeff Ratcliff's ranking, as well as mine and Chris Meany's and a bunch of other people from the site. Content, articles, podcasts, live streams, tools, premium stats, projections, every single thing you need to be great in terms of DFS, season-long, betting, all that great stuff. Keep it locked in. And of course, subscribe, rate, review the podcast on Apple or any platform you listen to the podcast. We really appreciate it. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. We will see you on Monday.
Thanks for listening to the FTN Datacast. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe. And follow the hosts on Twitter @APfeiffer24 and @LochnerNFL.